Narcissism is a personality disorder that affects between 1 and 3% of the population. At least that's the way it used to be. Recently, I came across a psychiatrist, or a psychologist, I guess, and she claimed that narcissism occurs on a spectrum, sort of like autism. And she said along that spectrum, the numbers grow exponentially. That rather than 1 to 3%, it's more like 15 to 20% of our population suffers from some degree of narcissistic behavior personality disorder. One of the characteristics that's very clearly identified with the personality disorder is manipulation, emotional manipulation in particular. Now, if emotional manipulation were an Olympic sport, there's no question women would get all the gold medals. There's no doubt about it. So today, I'm going to talk to you guys a little bit about how emotional manipulation shows up in our relationships, how and why women are so good at it, and how you can combat it. This is Life 2.0. Let's talk about it. I think the first thing you need to understand about women is that they come to their experience in a different way than men do. They have a much higher level of fear and anxiety than men do, just as a baseline. They also experience their emotions completely different than we do. Rather than just having an emotion that comes and goes, these emotions seem to, embrace them, encapsulate them. They become their emotions. And the combination of this turns a person from a rational thinking human being into a frightened defensive animal. And one of women's best defense mechanisms is their emotions. They use them as a tool, as a weapon, if you will, to get the things that they want. And when they feel threatened in any way, shape, or form, manipulation is a common tactic that they will use as a self-defense mechanism. Now, their threat, what they believe to be threatening, is completely different than what you and I would think of as being threatening. You might think that, you know, confronting a wild animal or a guy in a dark alley or, you know, something along those lines as being threatening. Women will perceive you're not giving them enough attention or you're prioritizing something above them in some way, shape, or form in a relationship as a threat. And that becomes problematic because as men, we don't understand that. We think that it makes perfect sense that you would prioritize your job over taking her to the movies if your job is on the line and you're trying to make enough money to feed your family. She will just see it as you are prioritizing something above her. And that will be an underlying threat to your relationship. And if your relationship is threatened, her safety is threatened. If her safety is threatened, she's going to have to look for another man. I mean, the whole thing just cascades into a ridiculous episode of fear and manipulation. It's important to recognize that women don't just have emotions, they use emotions. And they're always on the lookout for emotional actions, things that might occur that would cause them to become emotional. I think that part of it is a defense mechanism from a long time ago, because obviously women are smaller and weaker than men, and so they have an emotional radar system where they can pick up on people's emotional frame of mind. I think that dogs are like that too. So dogs reflect back on people, the emotions that they're giving off. I'm always a little bit concerned when little kids get around the dogs, because sometimes kids can be a little scared. And if the dogs pick up on fear, well, they can become fearful themselves. Well, women are a little bit like that. They will pick up on an emotion that maybe you don't even recognize is there. And maybe they have misidentified. This happens quite often, where they have their radar turned up so high, they're picking up on things that don't even exist. They're just echoes of emotions in the atmosphere. And this causes them to be reactive. And this reactivity that they come across or they develop is what we end up misinterpreting as irrational behavior. And it is irrational behavior, but understanding where it comes from, I think, helps us identify it and to deal with it when we see it. So the crown jewel of female manipulation is without question victimization, playing the victim card. The victim card has no limit. It's more powerful than an American Express card because it never expires. You can use it anytime you want under almost any circumstances. A friend of mine recently told me a story about how he got a call from his wife on his way home from work, and she asked him to pick up some milk. And he was distracted, and for whatever reason, he forgot to get the milk on the way home. He gets home and she's pouring herself a cup of tea or coffee or something, and she asks for the milk, and he goes, "Ah, babe, I just totally forgot it. I'm so sorry. I'll run out and get it right now." And she says, "Oh no, don't you bother yourself. I'll just have my coffee black again. It's not like I need the milk." And he's like, "Oh, no, really, I don't mind. No, it's okay. I'm used to being disappointed. It's happened my whole life. I remember my mom was always very disappointed in my father. He was never able to meet her needs either." And suddenly, you go from being a guy who forgot to pick up milk on the way home from work to being this evil villain from a Lifetime movie that is responsible for all the terrible things that have ever happened to her in her life. That you are the ultimate villain, and she is the ultimate victim. The next manipulation is the emotional time machine. This is one of my all-time favorites. This is one that my ex-wife used on me all the time. You see, we had this initial kind of falling out about 3 years into our marriage. And anytime we had an argument from that point forward, or even tried to resolve anything in our relationship from that point forward, it always came back to that moment in time when I went downstairs and went and watched the TV instead of helping her with whatever she needed help with. She acts like I did that every day for 20 years. You know, I think it may have happened two or three times during our entire marriage when I just got home from work and just wanted to be left alone, did not want to deal with her craziness. But if I'm having a conversation with her, probably even today, if I were to talk to her about anything in our relationship, anything that she may have done wrong, any act of meanness that she may have performed in our relationship at any point, it will go back to that moment in time. Three years into our marriage, so it's like almost 30 years ago, you know? And women do this consistently throughout all relationships. I don't care how long you've been married, if you've ever done anything wrong, if you've ever disappointed her, if you've ever fallen short in any way, shape, or form, that is lodged in her memory for all time. It's like an ace she can bring out in the middle of a game and suddenly play it. It's like, wait a second, that ace wasn't in the deck. Well, how the hell did that cut there? How come we've got that ace on the table? Oh, this is like her free ace. She gets to play it anytime she wants. And if you're having a conversation, a disagreement, an argument, whatever it may be, she's gonna pull that ace out and you're done. It's over. There's nothing you can do. Here's another classic I'm sure you guys will resonate with right away. The emotional hostage situation. Now this one is a little more sophisticated and requires a little bit of thought and recognition when it happens, but you'll see it as soon as I say it. So she's going to hold you responsible for her emotional state in almost every set of circumstances. So if she's unhappy, then it means that you have done something incorrectly. This kind of also falls a little bit under the whole mind reading thing, manipulation. But really what it boils down to is if she's not in a good frame of mind and you ask her, "Hey honey, what's wrong? Is there anything I can do to help you?" And she says something in return like, "If you loved me, you would know." Ooh, there you go. That's it perfectly right there. If you loved me, you would know what you need to do to make me happy. Oh, think about how sophisticated that is. That is brilliant. There's nothing you can do about that, you know? It's like if you take a guess at it and you get it wrong, oh, you're screwed. You've only got one chance in a billion of getting this one right, you know? It could be because the house isn't clean. Maybe you left your socks on the floor. Maybe you didn't pick something up on the way home from the store. Maybe, you know, you didn't get her oil changed. Who knows? Who knows what it is? What could possibly be making her unhappy? But whatever it is, it's definitely your fault, and you're gonna have to do something to make it right. Because she wins either way. If you guess and you're wrong, oh, now she's got one on you. She can use that forever. That goes into the time machine. And also, it's good for victimization too. She can use that on the victim card. And if you guess and you're right, oh, now you've just reinforced the whole thing. Now you've reinforced the fact that you are in sync with her. You're reading her mind. And the next time something like this happens, if you fail to read her mind, now you're an asshole. Yes. So no matter what happens, you might win in the short term, you will eventually lose this game. Unless you truly are a mind reader, in which case then I guess you can win. But for most mortal men, we're going to lose this game in the long run. Every woman knows that she has a secret weapon that she can deploy from her arsenal at any time and win. It's the nuclear option. We're all familiar with it, and there's nothing that we can do to defend ourselves against it. These are the tears. You know it, and I know it. The minute she starts crying, you will do anything in your power to make it stop. And women will pull out that nuclear option, really, whenever they feel like they absolutely have to have something that they want, when they need to win the argument, when they need to manipulate you into some kind of behavior that you're totally against, they need you to take them somewhere, do something. And it always comes with the, if you love me, you would. So it kind of goes back to the hostage situation, you know, and it can also be associated with any of the other. That's what's the beauty of these things, these manipulations, is they can all tie together so neatly. You know, you can use the victim card with the tears. You can use the hostage situation with the tears. You can use the time machine with the tears. They all fit together perfectly. But the minute those tears come out, oh man, you are screwed. You are absolutely screwed. I remember a guy who ended up getting a cat that he really did not want because of the tears. And it had something to do with her not feeling loved enough and him not being sensitive enough. And if she just had a cat, she would love to have a cat. And he said, honey, I don't like cats. I'm allergic to cats. I don't want a cat in the house. I don't want to take care of a cat. And then the tears happened. Yeah, next day they've got a cat. So you can find yourself in situations that you never would have expected, and it can all be simply because of those tears. And I know a lot of you guys are going to push back and say, no, that won't work on me. Yeah, you're lying. You're lying. They know it, and you know it. Deep down inside, when those tears start, you'll do whatever it takes to make them stop. These days with social media, there's a whole nother wrinkle to the manipulation game, because they can bring in other women into the manipulation. So for example, this happened to me all the time, and it didn't always end up on social media, but it did from time to time, where I'd see a picture of my girlfriend or my wife in particular online, and she'd say something like, and some people just don't appreciate what they have. And you're like, what? What are you talking about? I don't understand. What is this? And then people are texting me saying, hey, is everything okay with you guys? What's going on? Like, I don't know. Only to learn that she got a haircut that I didn't recognize. I didn't notice. Haircut looks the same as it did last time she got a haircut. I mean, the haircuts always look exactly the same. They grow out an inch and then she gets a cut again. I don't understand what that's about. But for whatever reason, if you don't recognize when something has changed, it could end up on social media, and suddenly all of your friends and family are wondering whether you have done something to harm your wife, and all you did was not recognize that she got her hair cut. So social media can certainly be a weapon that they can use. And of course, I think it can tie together with a lot of these other things too, because if you forget those haircuts enough times and you don't recognize when she's gotten something done, some work done, whatever, yeah, inevitably, that goes into the victim card, you know, that goes into the time machine. That can be used in emotional manipulation, and certainly tears can apply to that. And now you throw social media on top. It's amazing that any relationship lasts more than a day, quite honestly. Then there's the in-person social network. Her sisters, her neighbors, her friends, they all share these emotional highlight stories. And these emotional highlight stories don't tell the full story. They just tell the emotionally tinged, foggy story that they have in their head about something that happened. And you have no way to respond to it. This reminds me of that T app that was out recently, where women were, slandering men and telling terrible stories about them. Well, the same thing happens within their relationship, where a woman will tell her friends or her sister or her mother something about what you did or something that you didn't do or some other set of events that occurred that you didn't respond correctly to. And next time you see them, everyone's sort of looking at you side-eyed, like you canceled Christmas or something like that. You know what I mean? Like you did something so heinous and awful that it was just pretty much unforgivable. And you have no idea what it is. But you know there's something wrong, you just don't know what it is. And there's no way for you to figure it out either. Oh, and then there's the comparison game. Oh my God. This is not just a manipulation, because it brings into the game emasculation. So you got manipulation and emasculation occurring at the same time. When she's gonna compare you to someone else's boyfriend, someone else's husband, maybe some ex-boyfriend of hers that she had, there is nothing worse in the world. Because not only is she telling you that you're not good enough compared to someone else, but you're also not good enough for her. And that whatever you're doing or not doing is clearly out of sync with all the other men in the world. And you are just a lowly piece of crap. This manipulation is designed to put you down so far that she can ask anything of you and you will be happy to apply whatever is necessary to make her happy. You will do anything to get yourself out of this hellhole that you found yourself in, just because now Jessica's boyfriend did this, or my ex-boyfriend did that, and now you've got to at least meet that and then up it one more notch. This is just pure manipulation. It definitely falls on the narcissistic scale somewhere, and trust me, it's definitely pathological. The future manipulation. This is when she uses some event in the future as a way to manipulate your behavior in the present. So for example, I can't imagine being with someone who doesn't see the world the way I see it. So really what she's saying is, I don't think we're gonna be together very long unless you change your ways. Or, I can't imagine staying with someone who doesn't want to eventually get married, or I'm not getting any younger, or I can't imagine myself staying with someone who won't let me move in with them at this point. You know what I mean? After being together for so many years, I can't imagine that I would stay with someone who doesn't want me to live with them. All of these kinds of manipulations are based on something that has not happened, will not happen, and she's saying that if you don't do this now, then in the future, I am definitely gonna leave you. Like, your behaviors in the moment here, because of your lack of ability to see my needs and meet my needs, are gonna cause me to do something in the future that you're not gonna like. This is future manipulation, also pathological, also definitely on the narcissist scale. One of my personal all-time favorites is the silent treatment. This is psychological warfare at its greatest, because she doesn't really have to do anything. She, in fact, doing nothing is what causes you the pain, gives you the sensation that you're being manipulated. She just stops talking. And she's gonna use this silent treatment, and if she says anything about it, it'll be like, she just needs space. However, she doesn't need space. She's still in the same space as you. She's still walking around you. She's just not talking to you. And she's making it very clear to you that she's not talking to you. If you try to talk to her, you might get a grunt. She might not even look at you. She might just turn away and walk out of the room. This is the most brilliant form of manipulation there is, because she doesn't have to do anything. There's no crying involved, there's no story involved, there's no getting other people involved. It's just her and you and her not talking. I personally would rather have her screaming and crying than go through the silent treatment. It's the most insidious form of torture that a woman can do to a man. Here's another great one, the apology trap. Let's say you did something and you apologize. You forgot to call her. So you say, I'm sorry I forgot to call, honey. I was just busy at work. She says, well, if you really meant it, you wouldn't have forgotten to begin with. This is perfect, because your apology, which was sincere, is now being deflected as if it doesn't matter. That the fact that you didn't do the thing that she wanted you to do to begin with is evidence that you don't love her enough. And there is nothing that you can say or do at this point to turn that around. So the apology itself is actually an admission of guilt for not having done something that you just simply forgot to do, or was in an innocent set of circumstances. And she will use that now as leverage to get you to perform some other task, or to feel sorry for her, or to be the victim, or, you know, put it in her time machine, whatever. She's going to use this again and again and again. The apology trap is just a pure manipulation, and it definitely has to be on that narcissistic, you know, scale somewhere. We talked a little bit about this earlier, and in fact, I did a whole video on the mind reading thing, so I'm just going to touch on it here. But being able to anticipate any and all of her needs is a critical element. And if you don't anticipate some need or address it before it becomes critical, then you clearly don't love her enough, that you're not in tune with her. You're not the right guy for her. You know, someone else's husband does it better than you. The whole thing can just kind of get wrapped up in here. It's very, very easy to do. Another one is the hostage exchange. Let's say you come home from work and you're really, really tired, and you just say, oh, I just had a lousy day. And she turns it around on you and says, well, I had a lousy day, but I don't take it out on you. And you're like, wait, what? I didn't take anything out on you. I just told you I had a lousy day. I'm not yelling at you about it. It's not your fault I had a lousy day, but now it's your fault she's having a lousy day. Yeah, now you're responsible for her having a lousy day. She's going to tell you that she was fine until you walked in the door. Now she's pissed off because you showed up with a bad attitude. Your fault. The relationship audit. This is one of my favorites. This is where you get a detailed report on all of your behaviors for a set period of time. Could be for a week, a month, a quarter, a year, could be 10 years, where she's going to give you a complete breakdown of anything and everything that you've done wrong since the very beginning or from some period of time. And there is no getting out of this. It's sort of like the time machine, except she's going to cover anything and everything that's happened since the beginning all the way up until the current moment. And you're going to get it all in one giant vomited like spew of toxic crap manipulation. There's nothing that you can do to combat this. This, once it starts, it's just going to keep going. If you try to stop it midstream, it becomes another incident that goes on the audit. So you just have to sit there and take it. These audits occur from time to time. Just prepare yourself. You're going to get one sooner or later. And then finally, of course, you've got emotional inflation. If you've spent any time with any woman at all, you know that any little tiny thing can turn into a really big thing really, really fast. So something completely innocuous, like you left a dish in the sink or something along those lines, can suddenly turn into you having complete disrespect for her and everything that she's done for this house, and there's nothing that you can do to get yourself out of the situation. You just thought you were being a little lazy and you were going to get to that dish later, and she sees it as a representation and a symbol of your complete disrespect for her as a human being, that you obviously could not possibly love her because you left that dish in the sink. Now, of course, this dish in the sink thing, that goes into the archive. It's going to come up at some point later. It certainly falls under the victim credit card thing. She can definitely use that again. You know, she can charge that one every time. She can share that with her friends. She can share that with her social media group. You know, there might even be a picture of the dish on the social media site. You know, you might see a picture of you leaving the dish in the sink on Facebook or on X or something like that. You know, with her comments, he doesn't even love me. You know, he doesn't even respect me. Oh my God, it just goes on and on and on. I could go on with this for another half hour easily because there are so many examples of what women will do to manipulate you. Here's the thing. Women use emotional manipulation because that's how they're wired. That's just the way they think. That's just the way they are. They live in an emotional world. Emotions are their tools. Emotions are their language. We have a rational compass in our head that always points to logic and rational solutions. And that rational thought process and that logic compass will not help you navigate an emotional minefield. There is no way you're getting through this by trying to respond to her with logic or rational behavior. The only way to get through this is not to participate. You cannot be responsible for another adult's feelings or their emotions or their happiness or anything else. The only way you can deal with it is to choose to back out of it. And if she can't deal with that, then maybe you need to find somebody else. You cannot get sucked into these things. You need to have like a boundary for yourself where you're just not going to allow yourself to get into it. And you need to recognize it and call it out when you see it. When she starts pulling one of these stunts on you, you just say, look, honey, I'm sorry you're sad. When you feel better, let me know. We can have a conversation about it. Or, I'm not falling for that. There's no way you're gonna hold me responsible for that. I'm not biting. There's no way I'm gonna go down this path. Just get up and walk out. Give her the silent treatment. Put yourself in another space. Walk out of the house. Go for a walk. Just do not allow yourself to get sucked into one of these arguments or one of these manipulations, because it's inevitable that you are going to lose in the end. There's nothing that you can do about it. The problem is they sneak up on you, and I know it. I know it. It's so easy to get trapped in it. I've done it myself so many damn times. It drives me crazy. Realize that women live in this state of fear, and they have this emotional framework that they filter the whole world through. And it's not that they're evil, and they're not trying to take over the world, and they're not trying to destroy you as a man. It's just the way they are. And the only way to deal with them is not to deal with them. That's really the only way to do it. So if you're in a relationship with a woman and she starts pulling out some of these emotional manipulations, just recognize them for what they are and withdraw. Say, look, honey, I'm sorry you're feeling bad. I can't help you. I'm not your therapist. I'm not your emotional support animal. I cannot deal with this right now. And then just go to the garage or go out for a drink. Just get out of the house. Don't be around it. Eventually, she'll catch on that this isn't going to work. Or she'll find someone else who it will work on, and you'll be on your own. Either way, you'll be better off. All right, you guys, that's all I got for you today. If you know someone who might enjoy this video, please share it with them. In the meantime, remember, stay healthy, and if you can, stay single.